Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's so great to be with you this morning. For those, can everyone hear me well? Great, hallelujah. It's so great to see all of you this day. And let me just get another show of hands. Are there any new visitors with us this morning, here for the first time? Great. Awesome. So great to see all of you. I hope and trust that you had an amazing week. And I'm sure that many of you are just burning to come and share some testimonies of what God has done. Amen? Sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, I bring myself before you, Lord, in this word that you've laid on my heart. Father, thank you that your word is alive and true and everlasting. Even above this world, Jesus, your word will reign true and live on forever. And I pray, Father, that you will just so breathe life into every word that departs from my mouth, Lord, that you will make it fall on fruitful ground in every heart and every life this morning. Jesus, that we will not only hear what you have to say, but go and do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. It's so great to be with you this morning. You know that God is good. He's extremely good. And last night, above and beyond the amazing rain we've had, it's so great. I believe summer is on its way, that it can come properly now. And I've been waiting for, and you know, God is good. And it was so interesting for me last night, as while I was trying to sleep and just hear the word trying to sleep, there was not much of that happening last night. But hallelujah, God was taking me on a journey last night through my childhood, through my past. And it was quite an amazing experience just to run through everything that you've done. You've taken me to some. He would just show me these glimpses in space of time of how we used to play as friends, and where I would used to go hide away from them, and how things used to look and how it looked afterwards. And now I have no idea what it looks like. And just all these things, which was really great in one hand to go through, but on the other hand, you know, sleep is great as well. And I was just like, Lord, why are you taking me on this journey? And I'm standing here, I'm still not absolutely sure why that happened, but I just knew that I had to come share and tell you that God took me on this journey. And he highlighted to me, once again, my parents. I know that all of us, we have so many different, first of all, opinions about parents and roles that they should have in our lives. But you know what? My personal opinion is that mothers are just the greatest things on earth. You know, for me, there's no better person for you to have than your mother. She just loves you, I think, almost as unconditionally as what God does. And they just do everything in their power to give you what you want and what you need and what you desire. And well, that's a case that I experienced with my mother. I know we all vary in our experience with it, and thank God that He's perfect and He's the perfect Father. But God's just so through taking me on this journey. In my childhood, we actually used to come visit Pretoria a lot, in our family, we had this place where we used to go over weekends, and there it's a wedding and conference center. So we used to work there and play there with my cousins, all of that. And a couple of weeks ago, we went to Hunkwe. I don't know exactly how you say it, but I don't know if you know where that is. But we went to go and swim there and just spend the day there on Braai Day. I thought that day, you know, this is a good idea to do something on off day, but half of Pretoria had the same idea. So there were thousands of people. It was actually an ideal situation to preach the gospel. I don't know why I thought about it. But praise the Lord, we had a good time. And then this place all of a sudden just looked so familiar that we used to visit when I was about 10, 11 years old. And then we took the road on further. And then we came to this place where we used to spend time as a family together a lot. And just again, this place was in my dream last night. And God just took me on this journey of my childhood. And He would remind me of things my mother used to tell me. We were very blessed, but we were very, very poor in growing up. We used to, and bless my parents if they come to listen to this, but we had pap en wors, you know, for like 7 days a week for such a long time. But in this place of me growing up, you know, I didn't think anything wrong of it. I was just like, yes, why do we always eat pap en wors? But I would never think that we are poor or anything like that. But just this environment that my parents created, and more specifically my mother created for us to grow up in. And God just reminded me of things she used to say and highlighted things that she did. That in our financial poverty, which we grew up in, my mother used to, for as long as I can remember until now she's unemployed, but by being obedient to God, but as long as I can remember, she always had two or three jobs that she did just in order to provide for us as a family. And God just reminded me again of the situation. We were here in this place in Pretoria. We at that stage lived in Johannesburg, and we were spending, I think it was Christmas, at this place, and I received this amazing present for Christmas. You know, yes. I don't know if anyone ever had this awesome gift as well, but it was this the thing you can shout in it, and then it shoots water like next to your ear out. But I don't know, it was just a boy's big dream to have it. And I can think that it could be quite expensive. And God just showed me that as we received those gifts, which was then just an amazing experience, my mother took herself out of the conversation, went into the, I don't know, behind the wall, into the bush area, and then she just cried for the joy on our faces that she can give us a gift that we so badly wanted. And as a child, you know, those things, you just don't see it, you don't know about it. So later, thank God that He shows us those things, we can appreciate our parents. But God just took me on a journey and reminded me of these things, and He showed me my life at this moment, the life that my parents live, that my brother and my sister live in. You know, we are so blessed. We are really so blessed. Even if I look at when I came up to Pretoria, everything fitted in pretty much into the boot of my car. I moved now recently. I had to drive a couple of times to get my things to the other place with a bucky. And God just blesses and gives, and the majority of things I have is what people give me. And God just so provides, He gives and He blesses, and God just brought me through this journey to see my life today so that I can be so thankful. But above and beyond that, He also with that just showed me a heart of a parent once again through my mother, her hard work, and her never wanting anything in return, just so that she could see the smile on my face for getting this stupid gift that I so badly wanted when I was small. And God started directing me to His heart. And I believe just as I was so oblivious to what my parents were doing behind the scene and the heart and the motive behind wanting to give me this stupid thing that I want just so I can be happy, I believe we, even more so, we don't have a clue what God does for us behind the scenes so that we can have the stuff that we want to give us satisfaction and a smile on our face until the next week. But I believe God, even more so than just what I was reminded about from my mother, He does abundantly massive, blissful things so that we can be happy as His children. You know, so God is good. He's extremely good. And with that said, this morning I would like to speak to us a bit about the refiner's fire. I know you're probably thinking, how does this fit in with God being good? It has everything to do with God being good, and I think most of you would be happy this morning. This is not a long message. I think it's more than a reminder, or just a glimpse of an opening in the way we, for perspective this morning, than it is this long sermon in a sense this morning. But if there's one thing we can be completely sure about, is that God loves us. Amen. God loves us, and everything that He does in us and for us and through us is at the best of our... He wants the best for us. Do you agree with me this morning? That everything we do, whether it feels good or it feels bad, He does it for the best of who we are, so that we can become the best which He has created us to be. And God is so, so jealous for us, not just for our Sunday mornings or evenings or Wednesday evenings. He's so jealous to have every single bit of who we are, because He loves absolutely everything about us that He created. He hates the sin, but He loves everything about us, and He's so jealous to have all of who we are. And God has created all of us in such a unique way that the way I give praise and thanks and communicate with God is so different to the way that could work or someone else would. And God is jealous to have all of that put together so that He can be with His children, and that we can be in covenant and community with Him. But with that said, with it said that God longs after us, God is good, He's a loving Father, I'm sure that many of us in this place, we've asked these questions: that where are you, God, when I need you? Why did you leave me? How come all I feel is pain? How come it feels like I'm always in the valley and not on the mountain? It's always a struggle. I'm sure many of us have asked or thought those questions, saying, God, where are you? Why have you left me? Why does it feel like I'm taking shots, God? Why, when I say, in the name of Jesus, go away, or be better, nothing happens? Why do we go through these things, and why we need to question where God is in those moments? On the flip side, I'm sure many of us also prayed the prayer or had a conversation with God at some point of our life, saying, God, I need to be holy. Lord, I want to know you more. God, I want you to have all of me. Or even just, God, I want to be close to you. Or God, I want to hear your voice. God, reveal yourself to me. I'm sure that we've had some conversations in those lines with God. You see, this process of hurt and pain and affliction is a process of purification, which we are going through. As we know, and as I said just now, God loves all that we are, but He hates sin. So there's a process that happens in our lives and through our lives, where God removes impurities from our lives so that we can so be closer to Him. Because God takes it so seriously, and I believe He loves it when we say, God, I want to be holy. Does God require of us to be holy? He definitely does. He says, be holy, for I am holy. So He takes it, and I believe he takes pleasure and delight in it when we say it. He would still bring us through the fire, but He then just openly makes us go through things so that we can know Him more. And there's a process of purification of silver or gold. And the process through that is with fire. And it has to do with the removal of impurities, which would make the metal precious and pure. And if we had to have this amount of silver, and we would expose it to heat, extreme heat, you know, silver starts to melt at 961 degrees Celsius. That is very hot, okay? I don't know if anyone have ever been in that heat, but it's very hot. So if we had this amount of metal and brought it under those extreme heat to be purified, the silver would become less, But that silver left over would be pure, as in that heat, the impurities start to leave and to be drawn out of it. And it so resonates with me with the scripture we have, where God says, you know, you need to decrease so that I can increase. There needs to be less of who we are so that there can be more of God. So if we can remove who we are, become less, we will become holy, we will become pure. The purification process starts as what we are left over with is more of God. Do you agree with me this morning? And in the Christian life, we are often weighed down by our own selfish desires, petty ambitions, amusements, attractions, which we all know are temporal versus eternal. We focus on the skin of the person next to us rather than the soul, and we judge by the eyes instead of valuing the person. In short, we don't reflect the image of God He has created us to be. And this morning, I have a video to show us. If we can just have it on the screen, please. The video of the process of, I don't know if you've ever seen the process where they start to purify silver. But I want us to look at it so that we can just have a clear idea of what happens. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Amay, for the video. I like to think of us when we've come to salvation for the first time. We are like the dust, the silver powder. Not really any fixed form to it, bits of pieces and a bunch of dirt and impurities in it. And then through the cross of Jesus, He brings us closer to the Father. He gives us access to the Father, which, as we know, as we read the Old Testament, there was always this big and lengthy process for people to come to the presence of God. They had to wash their clothes like 3 million times. They had to wait a year for encounter, especially if they wanted to enter the holies of holies, where if they did not prepare themselves well, then they would just die. That's why they would have like these bells attached to these cloaks, so if they know the bell stopped ringing, they can just pull the prophet out because he's dead. So praise Jesus, we don't need to go through this process, that we can have immediate access to the Father. But for us to truly be intimate with Him, He purifies us. So He takes us as this silver powder and exposes us to a blowtorch, to a flame. And we need to wait for it to get nice and hot. It's not a fun process. It's not an awesome experience to have. And I'm sure most of us can relate that we are, even as we're sitting in now, there's some things in our lives which really suck at the moment. It's difficult. It's hard. We don't understand. We're questioning where God is. Why does He love us in this way? Why does He love us this much that it has to hurt this much? But it is a process of purification that God takes us through. And as we saw that, after a while, when the silver became liquid, then when the guy initially said, ah. Then we think, okay, now this is over. He actually had the blowtorch on the silver for still some while. And then only later we saw the impurities coming out. Now that is exactly where God wants us. So the impurities, the rubbish can be drawn out of us. And how do we partake of this cleansing with God? It's not as much as we with our works, but it's more we need to endure. We need to persevere through it. God is the one who oversees this process in your life, and He sends you into the fire and takes you out according to His pleasure. And He does it for His glory. How does God accomplish this? He accomplishes this through our afflictions, our trouble, our rejection, our failure, our adversity. God uses all this to take out the grime, the dust. And you know, He burns the crap out of us. That's in a sense what God does, is He burns all the impurities and the nonsense out of us. Amen? I thought that would just sum it all up so beautifully. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 66, verse 10.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Your God is able to make us go through the fire, but just as he allows it to happen in our lives, he takes us out of it. And this is a reminder, I just felt God land on my heart. We are tired. We are afflicted. This season has been going on too long in our lives where we haven't seen the breakthrough we have been praying for and hoping for. And in the name of Jesus, the things aren't going out of our lives. But you know what God is doing is he loves us so much that he wants us to be so close to him that he's purifying us. He's taking the nonsense out of our lives, our old habits, our influences that we have. He's taking it and he's burning it in the exact same way, through intense fire, through intense pain, through intense tears and sore knees, so that he can be closer to us. 1 Peter 1 verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You know, the devil, I believe, not only me, but I believe he accuses us a lot and on a lot of things, but I also believe that he's mostly right on all the things that he accuses us for. And it's exactly for that reason that God, he comes and he purifies us. But then we say, but why? Lord, when I signed up for this Christianity thing, when I declared you as Lord and Savior of my life, Jesus, this is not what I pictured it to be. I pictured the journey for me just to be reigning and conquering and to do all these miraculous things, Jesus in your name. That is a very true element to our walk with Christ. But above all of that, you know, God really, as a father, only cares to be as close to his children as possible. So he needs to make us pure. He needs to make us holy through fire. The word also says our best works are like filthy rags before God. We can do nothing to impress God. He only wants us and all of us. And we need to live by the Spirit, because then all fleshly desire will fall away. Because I have the best intention with most of the things I do. But then I look at hindsight with it, it stinks. My motivation and the reason I want to do things. But God has everything so worked out, so planned for the best of our well-being. He wants us to draw closer to him. God shakes us until the things that are unshaken remains. And the only thing unshaken is the kingdom of God. And this is exactly what he wants to establish in every single one of us. When we saw that clip, I don't know if you picked it up, you know, but that silver dust, you know, there's really nothing really to it. For me, it looked like some dirt and a stone the guy threw in there. But as soon as everything melted, and even before the impurities came out, you could start seeing a reflection in it, in the silver. So God purifies us. He truly brings us to this place where we would reflect him. If we're this dust, if we're this rubbish, we don't reflect anything. We just look the same as everything else in this world, on this earth. But when we come to the place of purity through the fire, we start to reflect something. And when all the impurities are removed, we will reflect our Father. We will reflect Christ, to what he has called us to do. God has ultimately created us to bring his name glory, to be with him, to reflect who he is on this world. That is why God didn't take us out. That's why he's not, you're my son, you're my daughter, just, and he zapped us up to heaven so he can be with us. He has left us here to reflect who he is. But that only happens when we're in that pure form the silver has become after the heat. Then only we can reflect Christ, almost like a mirror.
You know, in my own life, I was about between 15 and 16 when I truly experienced Jesus for the first time in my life. I was a churchgoer my whole life. But that was the first time I really experienced Jesus' love and his acceptance. And I got baptized when I was 16 years old. And then I did the most nonsense I've ever done in my life. After receiving Christ, after being baptized, I was so involved with all the wrong friends. And God immediately started just putting me in these situations where I'm forced to make a decision between right and wrong. And it happened through my entire school career. And it is still happening, but it just feels a little less intense at this moment. Praise the Lord. And I reached this place in my life through making the bad decisions. I didn't always choose the good decisions. I ended up in that bowl where God truly burned. He burned all the impurities out of me. And with this week that passed and with last night, I'm just beginning to realize that I still don't fully comprehend what that season of my life meant and did for where I am at this stage of my life. I ended up in a hospital for about 3 months where, you know, for 2.5 months, I just prayed and begged God every single day that I would just die of the immense pain that I experienced. I don't know if anyone in this place have ever had a migraine, but a migraine, it was just, in a sense, like a migraine effect that I had for 24 hours for 3 months long without it ever letting up. I don't think any institute could have made me sane again. Just in that state that I was, just of begging God for my life, to say, God, kill me. I believe hell would be better than this pain that I'm experiencing. And I withered away physically, spiritually. There was nothing left of me. I lost so many weights. I couldn't move. I was just in the hospital bed all day just saying, okay, Lord, just kill me, please. And this went on for about three months, which felt in that space of time, which felt like eternity. And little did I know that through that process, that is exactly what was happening in my life. God had his attention on me, and in that moment, his attention was in the form of a blowtorch. And he was purifying me, setting me up for what he had next. And even in me, not even now fully understanding what everything it is that he has done, he's drawn me closer to him. Because he led me to that place on that bed, to this conversation where I just repented and I said, God, I see now. Now I see clearly that I'm a rubbish. I'm prideful. I'm arrogant. I believed all these things. And I didn't accomplish everything out of my own strength and out of my power. And God just revealed so many impurities in my life, which he, in that conversation, after experiencing this extreme pain, after having that conversation and repenting right there and then, we had this experience of Jesus being right there with me in the hospital. It took all of that impurities away. It was like he was drawing it out until I could see it, repent of it, and then in an instant, God took it away. I didn't need to do anything. Go through this whole path of purification and sanctification. As soon as God brought me to this place where I can just shut up, lay down my own thoughts, my own pride, where I could see clearly, and then repent of all those things, God took it away in an instant. Because that's his heart's desire. He doesn't make us go through pain just because he can. He does it so that he did it to me so that I could see clearly. And since that day, I've been just comparing to the 16 years before, you know, There's no measure to how my relationship with Jesus has grown. Has there been difficult times? Oh, yes, there's many. I'm in one. And I believe I'm always going to be one, because I also believe if there's anyone that God needs to do a lot more work in, it is me especially. But it is so great because it brought me to the place where I could see clearly and repent of those things. And where God started to just declare His purposes, His hope and His promises that He has for me. And where He revealed Himself as a father to me, because I grew up with a father that was never there. And God just instantly took the place of a father into my life. Where we could have a relationship and be real with one another. Would I want those 3 months over again? Never. Ever. But I want God just to give me the wisdom so I could just immediately repent before He needed to hospitalize me. Yes, it would have been great. But if I had to compare where I am today, everything that I am and that I have and that I pertain to become is just because of the grace of God. And through that, I just realized of the love that God has for me. Because the easy thing for God to have done is to never have made me experience the pain, but just to leave me. I believe I would have made a success of my life, I would have made money, and I would have been happy. I believe it. But I would have died and I would have gone to hell. Just because I wouldn't have known Jesus. He was an idea to me, an ideology, a religious figure to me, even after my baptism. Even after giving my life to Him. Just through Him drawing out the impurities, I could see clearly who God is and how He feels about me and what He had for me. So I believe, if not all of us, most of us, we are going through stuff which sucks at the moment. It's hard, it's difficult, whether it be our health, whether it be our finances, and whether it be our situation or relationships. What I just experienced through all of this, what God wanted to say this morning is He has not forsaken you. He has not turned His face from you. God is right there. In fact, He actually has His hand upon what is happening at the moment, because He loves you and He wants to be more intimate with you and in everything that you do and that you want and that you desire. So you can more accurately reflect who He is. Hebrews 12, verse 28 to 29 reads, "Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." The church is being purified, it's being set apart. And as most of us have prayed, "God, I want to know You, or I want to be holy. Use me, Lord." The church is busy going through fire so that we can see Jesus for who He is, so that we can know Him, so that we can know our Father, and that we can be a part of His plans and His purposes. And I believe in every generation people have said it, that you know, Jesus is close. He's coming real soon. But I believe we can all look at the signs of what is happening, and I'm going to be one of those guys saying, "Yeah, Jesus is coming soon." And I believe it's a healthy fear to live with, thinking if you wake up in the morning, what if Jesus had to come today? What if Jesus had to come this very afternoon? Would we be ready? Jesus is busy making us ready for His coming. He's purifying us. He's purifying His bride. And He's coming soon. I like to believe He's going to be in my generation. And I feel bad about this, but every time I think, and this is completely off track, but every time I think of Jesus is coming, it's just so, I just hope God doesn't do anything with this, but then I'm just like, "Oh Lord, but please just let me have children first before You come. Lord, just let me marry before You come. I have all these things that, God, I just want to do this before You come." But you know what? He's going to come at His time, and he's at His place. And whether we have, even found a girlfriend or whether we have had children, he's going to come when he wants to come. And he's busy preparing us for it. But I would really like to have children before he comes. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. And for my children to know him. Amen. So the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy. That our God may make you worthy. There's a process that God is making us worthy. It's great when we respond to the call of our Father saying, Jesus, here I am, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. That's great. But that does not yet make us worthy of His calling. It gives us access to Him immediately. But there's this process where God makes you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we need? We need a lot of grace. And thank Jesus, we have a lot of grace. We know the scripture where God says, He will not make us go through anything which He does not give us the strength to endure. So none of us will ever be in something, even though in that time, like me, I said, God, just kill me because hell would be more fun than this. Why are you doing this? You're such a meanie. When we're in those situations, you know what? God has given us the strength to endure and to come out of it. And that is what He's saying to you this morning, is endure, persevere. Open your eyes, try to see what I'm trying to show you, see the impurities, and then repent. Repent of who you are. Yes, you need to repent of who you are because Christ wants to be glorified in you and through you. And this process of purification is only complete that when those impurities are drawn out and we can receive the reflection of Christ. I don't know if someone has ever come to you and say, you know, I can see Jesus in you. No, I think that's an awesome moment when that happens, if someone has ever said that to you. It means that somewhere along the line, God has already done something in you where you are reflecting Him. But I believe we all need to hear that a lot more in our lives, where people kind of like, I can see Jesus in your eyes. I can see Jesus in your lifestyle. Because that is what God has called us to be, is to glorify His name. And to reflect who He is. So this morning, the band can come to the front, please. I'm holding true to my word, though I will not keep you long. But this morning, if you are struggling to see God's purpose in this thing you're going through at the moment, where it makes sense, you know that God is calling you for intimacy with Him, but you are now struggling to see what it is that He wants to show you. As the band worships this morning, I don't believe it's anything any one of us can pray for you for, because it's something that the Holy Spirit needs to convict you of, because the Holy Spirit is the only one to bring conviction. It needs to show you and reveal to you what it is that you need to, in that moment, to say, okay, Lord, I see what you are trying to show me. I'm the most prideful person ever. We need to repent of that because God rejects us. He rejects the proud. Because He wants to make us humble. So as we can all stand, so as a band, the band is going to continue, is they going to sing a song and minister to us. So as they do that, I want us to, if you are in the place not knowing what God is busy doing, tell God. Say, God, I'm confused, I'm hurt, I'm over this. I want you to kill me. Say, Lord, show me what it is I need to repent of this morning. Show me what the impurity is you are drawing out of me. And God will show you. And then repent of it. So let's take time to do that. And pray. If you require any other specific prayer, healing, advice, you want to talk to someone. There are going to be some of our facilitators at the front to pray with you, to talk with you. So you can just walk to the front if that is you. But if not, let's just have a conversation with God as the band plays. And then you are welcome to go and enjoy the week, to go and burn for Christ where He has placed you, so that we can reflect Him wherever we are. Amen.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You. There.